Welcome to Life Church Hurley's audio podcast. We hope this teaching will challenge you in any season of life you may be in. Thank you for joining us. We hope you'll enjoy.
Good morning once again. How was breakfast? Thank you. Thank you. If you have any complaints, you can go see Miss Maxine, wherever she's at. I will say the tomato gravy was fantastic. That was so good. I didn't get a biscuit, but I sure ate the tomato gravy. I'm just saying. With a fork. I ate it with the fork, though. Well, so this is really cool, and I'm glad we were able to do this again. It works out that we're in a tent. First off, I just want to let you know that we love having children in service. So if your kid cries normally, even on a normal Sunday, you are welcome to bring your baby. You're welcome to bring your kids. We love that. So don't worry if they cry. We do have a nurse and mother's room, but don't worry about it. You keep them in here. You let them cry. Everybody will be annoyed. It won't matter. All right. Nobody cares. We love hearing the next generation. We love hearing every single generation in this house. So if somebody can't hear what I'm saying, it's totally fine. They're going to be blessed anyway. So this comes from John chapter 21. Jesus goes to the cross. He dies. He's resurrected. He's going to then appear to his disciples three times. And this is the last of those three times that he appears to his disciples. And it's going to be on the shore as they're fishing. And Jesus is going to have breakfast with his disciples. Now, I need to apologize to all the kids. At least one kid in here thought that Jesus was going to physically be here. So I apologize. But I love what their mom said, that Jesus is in your heart, and so therefore Jesus is here. That was a much better explanation than I could have come up with on the spur of the moment. But that was amazing. All right, John chapter 21. We're going to read most of it here together. It says this. It says, his disciples were together, Simon Peter, verse 2. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we are going to go with you also. And they went out and immediately they got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And Jesus responded back to them. He said, well, then cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And so they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. And therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and he plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord? And then Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. And now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, then feed my lambs. He's going to ask him that three times. But look at verse 18. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But you, when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and another one will gird and carry you when you do not wish. And this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he came and when he had spoken this, he said to him, then follow me. And then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. And Peter asked of John, he said, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. All right, so there's a lot going on, but basically Jesus has breakfast with his disciples on the shore. And then at the very end, the disciples are separated, and then he sees Peter and he gives Peter a message one-on-one, basically letting him know that, hey, I know you. This is the third time that Jesus appears to his disciples. Do you realize that Jesus could have been anywhere doing anything? He could have been standing on the mountaintop. He could have been preaching to hundreds, if not thousands of people. I mean, he was resurrected from the dead. He still had the holes in his hands. He still had the scars on the side. Like, this is Jesus. He could have been doing anything. But you know what he did? He had breakfast with his disciples, with a few people. Instead of ministering and preaching and doing something with the masses, he broke it down to a few people, and he's sitting on the shore where no one could see him. They didn't even recognize him, and he's having breakfast with the 12. And then specifically, out of every person in the entire world, Jesus has breakfast with his disciples and then separates Peter to give him a direct message from God. He's separated and separated and separated. I want you to get this. Jesus appears to his disciples supernaturally. He's risen from the grave and he just appears on the shore. Then Jesus supernaturally gives them fish, which were not there all night long. Jesus does this all throughout scripture. And he gives them all these fish, 153 to be exact. He gives them all the fish. And then Jesus, it says, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it says he holds every fiber of the net together. So all the fish that are in the net do not break the net. So Jesus is doing a lot supernaturally in this moment. He appears, he gives them fish in the water, he puts the fish in the net, and then he holds the net together while they drag the net all the way to shore, and it says that the net did not break. And then he makes breakfast over fire right there on the shore, and he does all of that. He does all the supernatural things. You know why? So he can have a few moments with Peter. Everything that Jesus just did, all the supernatural things, was to have a few moments with Peter. Amen, church. Y'all know Peter obviously was the same one who denied Christ three times as Jesus was being led off to the cross. Peter sat there and denied as Jesus was looking at Peter in the face. Peter denies Jesus three times. I don't know this man. I'm not with this man. I'm not one of this man's disciples. And it says that Jesus looks over, looks at him in the face, and then Peter realized instantly what he had done. So he denies Jesus, and then Jesus shows up on the shore to have breakfast, not only with his disciples, but with Peter specifically, with a message directly to Peter. And here it is. This is so profound. Look at verse 18 again. Everything that Jesus did, he stopped the show to give Peter this message. Ready? Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you were old, Peter, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. And Jesus spoke these words. This is so powerful. Signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to Peter, follow me. Now I know what you're thinking. Okay, that's good. Peter would die just like Jesus. Peter would go to the cross just like Jesus. Peter would be crucified just like Jesus. And I don't know if you're like me. Now you're probably like Peter. Right? Like if you denied Christ three times, right in his face as he's being led off to die for you, wouldn't you have a little hesitation about ministering? Like when you make mistakes, whenever you've made a mistake, haven't you like waited a little while before you prayed? Am I the only one? Haven't you waited a little while? Maybe sometimes if it was bad enough before you went to church, maybe you didn't go to church for a few years because you messed up and you made some public mistakes and people looked at you and you just knew, people knew what I did. And so therefore we stay away from Jesus a little longer and a little longer. Can you imagine denying Christ to his face as he's going to the cross? I don't think it gets any worse than that. None of us have ever done that. And so Jesus stops the show to tell Peter one thing. Peter, you've messed up really, really bad. But you know what, Peter? One day, you will be so faithful to me that at the very end of your life, that you will die on the cross just as I have died. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Because you got to think about what's running through Peter's head. All the doubts and the fears, and I'm not good enough, and I don't know if I should be here. I don't know if I should be ministering anymore, and you know, I'm not the chosen disciple, and all these, like, I'm not good enough. And Jesus looked at him, he says, not only are you good enough, you will serve me all the days of your life. And you will be so faithful that when that moment comes, someone will drag you away just as they drug me away. And they will take you to the cross and you will die. That's how faithful you're going to be, Peter. You will die on the cross because you know who I am. My goodness. I don't know about you, but I think it would restore my confidence and who God called me to be. If Jesus looked at me in the face and he says, you love me so much that you were willing to die for me. I think we would all love that message. I think we would all love for Jesus to show up this morning physically and look at us in the face and say, you know what, you have been through it. You might not feel like you're good enough. You might have made some mistakes. You might have denied me, but just know this, that I will be with you for all the days of your life, and you will walk with me all the days of your life. What a blessing. What a blessing. You will serve God, and your life will glorify God to the end. This morning, we have separated ourselves from the world. We've gathered into church together. We're a small group of disciples who love Jesus so much, and we're just here to have breakfast with Jesus. And I believe that the message he gave Peter is the exact same message that he's speaking to all of us. That if Jesus had a moment with us this morning, that he would tell us the same thing. That he's with us, that he loves us, that he has not walked away from us, that he's not denied us. It doesn't matter what our past looks like. It doesn't matter how many times this week that we've looked at Jesus in the face and denied him, that he still loves us. Amen. That he still has great plans. He looked at Peter and said, hey, you have a life to live for me. And God is looking at every single one of us saying, you still have a life to live for him. He has plans for you. He has shown you. He has grace. He has love. He has mercy. He has all those things. And he is looking at us and saying, you cannot believe what you will do on my behalf. We sit as followers having breakfast with God. I want you to look at this. Verse 22. Look at verse 20 through 22 right there. Here is the response. Here is the response. And I think sometimes we look at the disciples like they're somebody, but we got to start looking at the disciples like they're human beings. And so Peter's looking at Jesus, and Jesus is trying his best. I mean, he stopped the whole world. He's having breakfast with them, gave them fish, did all the things. And he's trying to tell them, hey, Peter, you're going to serve me all the days of your life. And Peter cannot help but be a human being. Because here is his response to Jesus. It says, Peter, turning around, saw the disciple John, whom Jesus loved, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, talking about John. And Peter said, Lord, who is the one he's talking about John. Look at verse 21. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You know what he's saying? Jesus is looking at Peter and goes, hey, I have amazing things for you. You're going to serve me. You're going to love me all the days of your life. I'll walk with you. He's trying to tell Peter all the good things. All the good things. And you know what Peter's response is? Jesus, that sounds incredible. And if you're willing to do those things for me, like that's great, that's great. But if you're willing to do those things for me, what in the world will you do for those disciples that you love more than me? Have you ever had this feeling? God, you bless me so much. But surely you love Pastor more than you love me. I mean, I've messed up a lot, and maybe you love like Maxine and David more than me because that tomato gravy was on point. God, maybe you love like the missionary who's dedicated their whole life or most of their life, and they go and they eat bad food and they get sick and they serve and they love people. Surely you love that missionary. Like, I know you've blessed me, but if you've blessed me like this, what will you do for the missionary who loves you and adores you and has committed their life to you? And Jesus goes, that's not how this works. Do you know that when God calls you a son and daughter of Him, that there is no qualifying word before that? God never says, you're my favorite son or daughter. He never said that. He never said, you're my favorite, you're my special, you know, you're my most loved, and you're my most loyal. You know why? Because son and daughter is all that matters. You are His favorite. You are His most special. You are His most loved because there is no degree. There are no degrees of God's love. There are no pre-qualifications of what you need to do and how many times you got to pray a day for God to love you more than the next person or bless you more than the next person. There is nothing to where God sits there and goes, well, I love you more today because you went to church and you had breakfast with me. And you know, tomorrow when you mess up, I'm going to love you a little bit less. And so there's this profound moment when Jesus looks at Peter and He's trying to tell Peter how much He loves him. And He goes, Peter, do you love me? And Peter goes, absolutely, Lord. And Jesus goes, well, I love you too. In fact, I love you so much that I want you to go feed my sheep. And Peter goes, that sounds great. And Jesus goes, no, but you really love me? And Peter goes, yeah, you know I love you. He goes, great. Then go take care of my lambs. And Peter's like, yeah. And if you love me that much, Lord, then how much do you love him? And Jesus goes, Peter, are you listening at all? Have you heard a word that I'm saying? And there it is. Everyone in this room, if you are a follower, if you are a child of God, is loved just as much as the next person. The calling that He has on you is just the same. The same magnitude of importance. In fact, I can promise you this, you don't want my calling because God's blessings and His calling that He gave to you is absolutely perfect for you. What He has placed on you will keep you going all the days of your life. The things that He puts in your hands will be such a blessing to you that you will look at Him and you'll say, my God has been faithful to me. You don't want someone else's calling. You don't need to go and try to figure out what you need to do to please God. All you have to do is take what He's given you and be obedient with it. That's it. Amen, church. And so look at what Jesus' response is. He says, Peter, what is that to you? And I love what He's saying. They don't know what he's saying, really. But Jesus is basically saying, what if I make him live until I come back And they think that Jesus is going to come back soon. So they're like, oh, they said that John's going to live forever. And they walked away and they told everybody, John's going to live forever. And Jesus never said that. And that's what it says. But can you imagine if John was still alive today, he'd be like 2,000 years old, you know, 2,024 years old, you know, whatever it is. And Jesus said, well, see, what Jesus' point was Peter, imagine that I allow him to be 2,000 years old. Imagine I just give him the best blessing ever to be on this planet. Even if I gave him that, what is that to you? In other words, what I give you is perfect for you. What I give you, you will love way more than anything that I ever give him. Amen, church? Look at verse 11. This is so good. And if this is not, do we have any fishermen in the house? All right. And fisherwomen in the house? Some of y'all lying, because I know we got like way more hands that should have went up right there. Any of y'all closet fishermen, where you go when your wife don't know that you're going? I'm just saying. Anybody ever take a vacation day without telling your wife and you went fishing? Any? Wives, have you ever killed your husband? I'm just wondering. All right, here we go. Look at this. Verse 11, Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. So speaking of like what God gives you is perfect for you. What God gives you is perfect for you. Can you imagine? Like Leah was saying, can you imagine if Jesus was actually here this morning? And some kid was like, wait, he's not. And can you imagine if Jesus was actually here? None of us would want to leave, right? How many questions would you have for Jesus? How many of y'all would just sit at his feet all day? You wouldn't care anything about breakfast. You would forget about breakfast. You would say, hey, look, I don't care about eating. I don't care about breathing. I just want to be at the feet of Jesus, right? We all think that until Jesus walks in, and after about an hour, we get hungry and we're like, okay, Jesus, wrap this up. I've heard this sermon before. And you know what happened is the disciples are so excited about Jesus that they jump out of the boat. Peter jumps out of the boat wearing clothes and he swims to shore. Now look at this. How many fish were there? You didn't have to look, did you? How many fish? You know what that means, right, Randy? You know what that means? You ready? As everybody was so excited about Jesus, and everybody's running to see Jesus and fall at the feet of Jesus, there's at least one disciple who's like, I'm excited about Jesus, but I have never caught this many fish before in my life. And it said that they were the largest fish. They weren't just like fish. It was like the biggest fish ever. So there was at least one disciple that was going, one, two, until he got to 153 fish. It's pretty good. Now, some of y'all have caught like more brim or something. That's not very impressive, you know. 153 are the largest fish. Now, I think most people would probably do, just look at him and say, man, what are you doing, right? Like, we have Jesus and we have fish. But I want you to notice something. Y'all ready this morning? How many fish was it? Just one more time. How many fish? You know why you know that? Because somebody was so overwhelmed with what God did that they stopped And they added up the magnitude of the miracle. And God was so honored by what this guy did that he put it in the Bible. You see, when I say that what God gives you is absolutely perfect, it doesn't matter if everybody in the church is doing the same thing. But if God gives you a passion for him in such a unique way that, man, you love Jesus so much, you love him so much that you have got to count these fish, because no one's ever going to believe that there was like 150-ish fish. But if you stop and count, no, trust me, it was 153, the most I've ever seen in my life. They were all this big, and I hung them on my wall and I put batteries in it and they sing me a song, whatever, right? 153 fish. And God said, I'm honored that you noticed what I did for you. And there's a lot of people in the church that you play the background all the time. No one ever notices what you do. No one ever notices the money that you spend. You never turn in receipts. No one ever thanks you. No one will ever guess who did it for years. And in fact, sort of still to this day, somebody comes in and brings Kleenexes and puts them under the chairs. I have no idea who does that. I just assume it's the Holy Spirit. And you think, you know what? My calling, what God has given me, man, it's so good. But what if it was like that person's? And God says, what I gave you is for you to honor me and to bless me with. What I put in your hand, no one will ever know how many fish unless you are passionate about what I've given, the vision that I've given you for the blessings that I've put in this house. No one will ever believe it until you see it and you are faithful with what I've given you. What God has put in someone else's hands is irrelevant to the power of what he's put in your hands. Amen, church? And we need a church, and we have a church, but we need a global church who grasps at what God has for them and loves it to the end of the days. Who says, God, I'm not really great at praying. God, I've never cast out a demon, but I'm really good at counting. I'm really good at stepping back and seeing the fullness of what you're doing. I'm really good at testifying in a way that no one else in the history of man has ever testified before. Can you imagine just some disciple over there just counting fish, everybody sitting at Jesus, and they're like, come on, man. Why are you always counting stuff? Why are you always the last one? How come you're all always distracted? How come you don't see the important things in life? And God said, I gave you this vision. Yes. Amen, church. To carry, to be faithful, to love God in a way that no one else can love God. I've been blown away these past few weeks of just the faithfulness of people. The creativity, the new vision that people have, and all we've done is moved into a tent. Can you imagine what God is doing in people's lives all the time? That everybody just does the same thing. We always think that ministry looks the exact same way, and we got to do this and that, and you know, we got to show up, and we got to have worship, and then prayer, and then somebody has to speak, and God goes, hey, but I've given you a unique ministry for you. Amen. Amen. You serve, you testify, you glorify, you love God with a unique excitement over the things that you see in a unique way. You testify the way God gives to you to experience his miracles. I'm going to guarantee you that if Peter didn't feel like he was as close to Jesus as John was, then there's a lot of people in this room who don't think that they're as close to God as someone else. Who don't think that God loves them like someone else, because what God gave someone else looks better on the outside. Amen. But I want you to look at verse 12. Jesus said to them, all of them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you, knowing that it is the Lord? It means that regardless of who did what or who was at his feet or counting fish or dragging the net or, you know, worshiping him or whatever it is, that Jesus called everybody that could hear him equally. And I think the invitation for all of us this morning is absolutely equal at the feet of Jesus. When he calls and he looks at you in the face, by the way, he brought you here for a reason this morning. You're not just here to hear, you know, a little sermon and go home, or come in and raise your hand for a few songs and you go home. I believe that Jesus has called each one of us and he said, hey, come have breakfast with me. Come sit at my feet. Come enjoy what I have for you. I want you to know that all the days of your life, Miss Terry, I know you're special. All the days of your life, that he'll be with you. All the days. Amen. And if you're a first-time visitor, or if you've been away from God for a while, or if maybe you feel like you've denied Christ, he's still looking at you the same way, and he's saying, hey, I have called you out by name. I want you to have breakfast with me. You know what's amazing is something as simple as counting fish, it seems like irrelevant. But I just believe that people might have gotten saved because of the number of fish. That he went around and told people, no, you don't understand. It wasn't like 60 fish. It was 153. And ministry was done. And people understood who Jesus was because one disciple understood what Jesus gave them. Amen, church? Each one of you is called by God. Amen. He loves you. He adores you. He's called you out by name. In your head right now, when you think about your name, I know it's kind of hard to do. Think about your name. What a lovely name, right? So good. Jesus called you out by name. Will you close your eyes for a moment? I believe that he is being very specific this morning. Because what God did was stop the planet to speak to the one that probably in a group of people at church felt the furthest away from God out of anybody else. And so maybe you look around and you're like, wow, these people don't know me. These people don't know how far I've been. If they only knew. Here's the miraculous part. Not only does God know, but he still calls you out by name. Yeah. Not only does he know, but he's drawn you in here this morning to separate you from the entire world, to let you know by name that he loves you. There is no distance you could run, no depths of the ocean that you could submarine down from the grace and of your life. We're faithful, those who loved him. That's the greatest words you could ever hear, Jesus. You are his. You are a son and daughter of the Most High King. No matter if you feel like you're up to it that morning or not, if you've committed to him, you are who he calls you. And he says, you follow me. So with everybody praying, let me just ask, if you've been away for a little while, and man, you feel like he's calling you back this morning, and loving on you this morning, calling you out by name this morning. Will you just raise your hand? It's not for anybody. He loves you. He's going to set you back on a course that he set you on years ago. He's going to reveal ministry in your hands once again. Come on, church, will you pray? Lord, we love you so much, and we just pray over these that are in their hearts, Lord, or are burning with desire towards you, Lord, or I feel like they've walked with you on the road because you were speaking to them, Lord. I pray just a deep revelation about your love in this place. That this service was not for anyone else, but for them. That you're looking at them, you're loving them, and you're speaking and reminding them of, Lord, who they are in you. It is by your power and your authority and your love that you are calling them back to a relationship with you. I pray that you are confident in who Christ is. I pray that you are confident in his words and not man's and not yours. I pray that you are confident in the fact that he came to you. He spoke over you. He is restoring you. It is not by anything that you could ever do. It is by his will and his might. It is by our repentance and a love for him. And so maybe you're in the house this morning and you just need to look at him in the face and say, Jesus, I repent this morning. I ask again, Lord, for the things I've rebelled against you, for forgiveness of those things, for the sin that I've harbored for far too long. Lord, I pray for forgiveness over those things. And can you say this in your heart this morning? Jesus, I love you. I thank you for being my Savior, and I thank you for loving me for far too long. Thank you for chasing me down, believing in me, Lord, and restoring me this morning. Lord, I pray that my vision is to serve you all the days of my life. Amen. Now, for those who are in the house and maybe you don't know Jesus at all. I mean, you've been to church a lot, or you know people who's been to church a lot, but you've never actually stopped and accepted Jesus as your Savior. Church, is that a good thing? There's no one in this house that ever regrets following Jesus. And so, church, will you pray again with me this morning? Come on, will you pray? Let me just ask. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is so good. If you've never accepted Jesus, but you want to this morning, will you raise your hand? Nobody's looking. Everybody's praying. Anybody in the house? Amen. Amen. Oh, Barbara, you got a few kids? Anybody else? Amen. We see you. That's so good. Church, pray. And if you feel like you need Jesus for the first time to be your Lord and Savior, if you've never made that commitment this morning, will you pray? First off, a simple prayer will not save you. It is your commitment to Jesus. It is your heart toward him. It is your faith in him. I want to lead you in a prayer, but really we would love to have a conversation with you. We would love to teach you and mentor you and lead you in things, show you some really awesome things in the Word related to you. But if you feel like you need Jesus this morning, will you pray this over yourself? Say, Lord, Jesus, I've come to the realization of not only who I am, but of who you are. That regardless of the things that I've done, that you are enough. That your blood shed on that cross the sacrifice that you made for me was enough to cover everything I've ever done. And this morning I realized that you are the Savior of the world. And in front of all these people, I declare it this morning that you are my Savior. And for the first time in my life, I can look at you and I can say, Jesus, I love you. And may it be that all the days of my life that I seek to serve you and to love you and to hear from you and to grow in you. But Jesus, I thank you so much for stopping my world to show me your goodness this morning. And so, Jesus, I pray in that holy name of yours. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning and you just want to have a conversation about, again, who Jesus is and you and the fullness of who you are, we would love, love, love to meet with you this morning. Amen. Church, how was breakfast?
Great.
It's good. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and we are grateful, Lord, for your word, the purity of your word, Lord, and I'm just amazed at how calm these kids are. Lord, we tried our best. We gave them coffee and sugar, and yet they sat still and quiet the whole time. Lord, we pray for every age group here this morning that we would be a family that loves Jesus, that we would be grandparents who love their kids and grandkids, who minister to them and speak over them God things, that we would be parents who take care of our parents and who love our children, who invest in our children, Lord, who speak God things over them, who schedule their lives around what you would call them and have them to do, Lord. Lord, that we realize that they're a blessing, that they can hear from you just as we can hear from you, that they can have a revelation about who Jesus is just as we can, that they can have a deep understanding about their calling just as we can have an understanding about our calling. Lord, you are so good to us. We pray that there are children in the house who will be so filled with the Holy Spirit that they will minister to every generation, that they will sit around the dinner table and they will astonish people with their words. They will speak of deep revelation about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and they will pray deep things, and they will understand, Lord, what you're doing in their little lives. Lord, use them to minister. Lord, thank you so much for giving people in this house a vision to come together as a family, to hear your word, to love you, to worship together. But I pray that it does not stop when we leave this tent. Lord, that we sit around the dinner table and we bless one another, we anoint one another, we speak God things over one another. And Lord, that your ways and your words are always on our lips. We love you so very much. Church, can you say that? Say, Jesus, I love you. And it's in your precious, holy, righteous, grace-filled name that we say this morning. And everybody in the church said, amen. Amen, amen. Will you stand to your feet this morning? Look around. Bless somebody. Encourage somebody on your way out. We love you so much. Thank you for coming this morning.
Thanks again for listening to our audio podcast. If you would like to find out more about our church, you can visit us at life-church.org.